Welcome to the Bundesliga show. My name is John Hartley from the Bundesliga World Blog, and as ever, I'm joined by Terry DeFellin from the Bundesbag. Hello, Terry.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, we have a very exciting show this week. Not only do we have our first ever guest on the show, but we also have our first request from a listener. The latter, however, I feel is less of a request than more of a test of my German pronunciation. During the discussion in the Twitter sphere after last week's show, I somehow got to the point of translating this into my pidgin German.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
That was naturally former HSV legend Kevin Keegan during his time as manager of Newcastle United. A chap called Stefan, who goes under the name as BVB Awesome on Twitter, requested that I should say this translation aloud on the pod. So here we go. Ich würde es mögen, wenn wir sie schlugen.
Wow. Which part of that is actually love it?
Ich würde es mögen is, I suppose, it's like I'd really, really like that.
Because the joy of that, of what he says there, is that I would love it if we beat them. Love it. It's the bit right at the end when he just says, re-emphasises the love it, and like points at it. And I'm just wondering which part of that sentence is the would best sort of like sum that up. If you were to re-emphasise a key point in that sentence, which one would it be?
Es mögen.
Es mögen. That's wicked.
I presume so. I presume so.
Maybe Stefan will put us right there. But again, yeah, just to stress, so which part of the love it would be, you know, the appropriate part of the sentence there?
Good stuff. Well, I really think that if Kevin had thought about it, he would have originally said it in German, because it almost rhymes and everything. But we'll leave that, we'll put that to bed. But we'll also talk about another request that we've had. A chap called Chris Oakley, that you know ever so well, Terry, because he's a colleague of yours on The Sound of Football, really wants us to chat about Ruud van Nistelrooy. We will be doing so in the future, but we have such a packed show this week that we're going to put that one on the back burner. But Chris, it is coming. The chat about Ruud van Nistelrooy will be coming.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Anyway, on to the action in the Bundesliga. After Friday night's 2-1 defeat to Hannover, Stuttgart said goodbye to caretaker coach Jens Keller and hello to former Leverkusen and Hamburg boss Bruno Labbadia. Now, this appointment seems to have been waiting in the wings for a little while, but I'm not that sure about it. Labbadia seems to have good starts with teams, and then it all seems to drop off. Plus, in his last couple of clubs, it seems that personality clashes with players were to blame for his demise. Is this a good move for Stuttgart?
Well, I mean, it may prove to be a good move for them, because he does get results. But yeah, as you say, as you've just said, he tends to start them off really, really well, and then the season sort of tails off to an extent. Having said that, Stuttgart traditionally finishes their seasons very strongly, don't they? And in recent seasons, they've actually finished quite strongly. And the last two clubs that Labbadia has coached, Hamburg and Leverkusen, have in recent times kind of gone off the boil towards the end of the season, irrespective of who's in charge. If you think about what Martin Jol did at Hamburg and how he almost got them to the final of virtually every competition that they were in, and yet, you know, they tailed off and failed to win the Bundesliga. In fact, they only just snuck in a European place at the death, right at the end of the season in Martin Jol's season. So maybe, and again, Leverkusen, well, we all know what Leverkusen could do. That needs no explanation whatsoever. So perhaps Labbadia has, to an extent, become a victim of the clubs that he's at. So maybe we haven't really seen what kind of coach he is. Having said that, he does have a reputation for starting a fight in an empty room, and yeah, I mean, certainly there's been suggestions of dressing room disharmony at Hamburg. So we will see. I think the question is, John, do you think that if Stuttgart were, weren't in the position that they were in, that they would have gone for a coach like Labbadia anyway? Do you think in the normal circumstances, in that sense, a stupid question, but it just occurs to me as being a bit of a gamble, because of his reputation, but because of where Stuttgart are, and I'm assuming they're also probably they might be having some problems recruiting registered real good quality managers, because one, they're enjoying work, but also because Stuttgart, I don't know what their reputation must be as employers, but you know, it's you don't get much time there, do you?
Well, my feeling on the whole Stuttgart situation is that if they were going to do this, I think that they should have done it when they got rid of Christian Gross, to be perfectly honest, because this is now the third coach who would have been through the doors at Stuttgart this season, and that is absolutely awful for the harmony of the team. I understand that there's the winter break coming up, and you know, that's one of the reasons for it happening, so he's got time to bed people in. But I really think that there was this little lull with Jens Keller, you know, where they just really weren't sure. Shall we go with this guy? Shall we not go with this guy? It should have been a decisive decision at that time. But, you know, they weren't. And now things still weren't going well with Jens Keller. So it's like, oh, God, we've really got to do something. Who's out there? Oh, Bruno Labbadia is out there.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm sure that he's done some convincing, you know, of the Stuttgart board that, you know, these problems won't reoccur again, but it is still a massive risk.
But again, I mean, to an extent, Stuttgart, obviously, apart from the fact that they're in a position of power because they are the employer and they are a very big club, they're not really in a massive position themselves to start, you know, looking down their noses at the sort of like reputations of previous managers, given that their reputation as an employer is not that good. They're not. I mean, I don't know what the situation was with Christian Gross, but he clearly did a good job when he was there, and he's a good manager. Now, we have no idea what went on in that dressing room, so we don't know what the circumstances are, but he's a quality manager, and although they had a dreadful start to the season, you have to wonder, you have to question the wisdom of that in the first place. So I think to an extent Stuttgart may have the coach they deserve.
Maybe. And come to think of it, you know, all Stuttgart need is to get out of this mire.
Yeah.
If Bruno Labbadia, I know this means another change in manager, but if this, you know, if it means
say,
just like, you know, let's just get out of this. If he can do that little bounce and we can
little,
get out of relegation.
A Bruno bounce is what's required.
Bruno bounce, and then we can sort of start
find
thinking about it again.
Side.
You know, but the way he left the way he left Hamburg, you know, it's just think about this of what it says about a manager, right? He left in April. HSV had, admittedly, they'd been beaten 5-1 by Hoffenheim and had won just 4 of their 15 games after the winter break that season, right? But they were just about to go into a Europa League semi-final against Fulham,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Which,
yes, of
if
course.
They'd won that game, they would have been playing for the Europa League in their own stadium for the final, right?
Yeah.
What does it say about a coach is if you go, right, actually, you know, we won't try and just push it through as much as we can, see if we can get through to the final. We're going to get rid of him before
the
game.
The translation. Just get yeah, no, mate, you're not even, you know, get it. Was a, yeah, obviously it was a question of just get out and stay out and don't come back.
That's pretty drastic, isn't it?
Goodness knows what went on there. Yeah, it was a really, I mean, you would automatically think that even if you think, right, this coach is cooked, we're getting rid of him, but I thought, well, we might as well finish the second leg first. But do you know what the trouble is that we all get emotional about football, and you know, people in charge of football clubs, they get emotional too, and clearly this was an emotional decision. Whether it was a warranted decision, we don't know, as I said, we're not there, but it was a very extreme one, and yeah, you have to wonder how to what extent this reflects on Labbadia himself. But he's a colourful coach.
He is.
He's very good for business.
Yeah.
I'm certain that he will provide interesting times for Stuttgart. They are a terribly interesting club.
Oh, they are, absolutely. But let's move on from that unhappy tale. And there's a happier scene at the Allianz Arena, at the fact that and the news that Bastian Schweinsteiger will be staying with the club, which slightly overshadowed the fact that they beat St. Pauli 3-0 at the weekend. It was a much-needed win for them, and fifth in the row in the league at home. But the re-signing of Schweinsteiger really is the biggest story. He's the heart of the Bayern midfield and arguably the heart of the whole team. So this is only a good thing for the record champions, and I would argue for the Bundesliga as a whole.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's good for the Bundesliga so that they're able to retain star players like Schweinsteiger, and he is a star player. And Bayern Munich see themselves, and I think many people see them also, as one of the true giants of European football, of world club football, let's be honest. And they, in order to preserve that reputation, they really do need to be able to keep hold of guys like that and say, look, we don't sell our best players, we keep them when we give them big fat pay rises and they win lots of championships with us. And it's a good statement for Bayern to make. And it's a fantastic signing, and I'm sure Schweinsteiger must be cock-a-hoop, because although the lure of Manchester United would have been very strong indeed, there must be a part of it that's thinking, yeah, oh, great, I don't have to move, I'm happy, I'm Mr. Bayern, and you know, I'm going to win lots of trophies here, and I'm going to have a great time, and I don't have to worry about things not working out or anything like that. Shame for Manchester United fans, because he would have been a tremendous asset for them, a wonderful player. And you can just see him getting into that Manchester United midfield and doing a really good job there. But fantastic news for Bayern. Fantastic news for those of us that follow the Bundesliga. He's a class player.
Yeah, and I think it really is quite a coup in the fact that, you know, once again Bayern have, you know, set their stall out and said, look, we don't care if you're Manchester United. You know, this is our guy. We're not going
exactly
to sell, you know, setting our stall out. And, you know, they've obviously made it attractive for Schweinsteiger, and, you know, they've sold it to him. They haven't just sort of said, you're not moving. Right. You know, they've made it attractive, and they've explained why Bayern Munich is going to be the better place for him. You know, okay, yeah, there's probably a bit of incentivisation with a nice load of cash in his pocket.
Sure.
But, you know, cash can only go so far. And you know, he's obviously happy about staying at Bayern Munich, which is fantastic. Hoeneß and Nerlinger, just don't let their crown jewels go. They really
don't. They certainly don't. No, they are to be congratulated as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, having covered the comings and goings of personnel, let's just run through the other results from the weekend. There was more woe for Hamburg as they went down 4-2 at home to high-flying Leverkusen. Hoffenheim and Nuremberg played out a 1-1 draw. Cologne did their survival hopes no harm whatsoever with a 1-0 win over Frankfurt. Kaiserslautern and Wolfsburg could only muster a 0-0 draw. Top of the table, Dortmund's incredible run continued with a 2-0 victory at home to Bremen. And on Sunday, Freiburg put 3 past hapless Gladbach, while Schalke's revival continued to gather pace with a 1-0 success at Mainz. Well, that's the end of part one. After this short break, we'll return with our first ever guest, who I caught up with earlier on today. Welcome back to the Bundesliga show. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce our first ever guest on the pod. You may very well recognise his voice from commentary from English language broadcasts of the Bundesliga games and from the International Highlights programme. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line from Cologne, Sportcast Phil Bonny. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. Season's greetings to you all.
Fantastic.
Or guten Rutsch, as they say over here, as you get towards the new year. A good slide into the new year is what they wish everybody. Which, on some of the pitches at the moment, that's not too far away from the truth.
Absolutely. We've had some weather in the past few weeks in the Bundesliga, haven't we?
We certainly have. It's been cold, it's been snowing, or it's been wet and damp, but it's led to some good action in the Bundesliga over the last couple of weeks or so.
Phil, 2010 has been a cracking year for young talent coming through the ranks in the Bundesliga. Let's talk about those guys and see, just have a little look back on who's been hot from that young talent. Let's start with two members of what's now Germany's favourite boy band, the Brückweg Boys from Mainz. We've got André Schürrle, and who we like to refer on this show as England's Lewis Holtby. These two are special players, and they've had their special moments in 2010, haven't they?
They have indeed, and I think that Thomas Tuchel has been very clever the way he's used them as well, because he hasn't just thrown them in every single game together and just expected them to get on with it. He has sort of shielded them and used them effectively. Although, that having said, the fire is starting to go out in Mainz. I have a slight suspicion that after Christmas you might see a little bit of a dip in their form. But Lewis Holtby, half English, half German, sadly for England, has decided that he's going to play for Germany. Fabulous. 15 games, provided 7 assists in the league, scored a couple himself. He's having a brilliant season, and I think he's also, you know, very much showing his parent club that they possibly made a mistake in letting him go out this season, although Schalke do have a wealth of talent, of course. but they're just not providing the result on the pitch either. Schürrle, well, of course, he's off to Bayern, off to Bayer Leverkusen, I beg your pardon, at the end of the season, and that's, I think, one of the big problems that Mainz are going to have next season is some of these young players are all on loan. So you've got players like him, who's off. Christian Fuchs is on loan from Bochum. You've got Risser as well. Marcel Risser is on loan. There's quite a lot of people that are going to disappear at the end of the season. Ivanchitz is on loan as well. Could be a bit tricky.
I was going to ask about Schürrle and this move to Bayer Leverkusen. Do you think that he's up and he's ready for going to a bigger club like Bayer Leverkusen, who, well, with all respect to Mainz and their position so far, they don't really have the strength and depth to really challenge, and a club like Leverkusen, they have big ambitions for, well, the title and for progressing in European competitions. Does he have what it takes to crack it there?
Well, I think every footballer believes that they do, and that's the reason why they move. I think, however, that what he might end up doing is a little bit like Toni Kroos now that he's back at his parent club. Once the squad is fully fit, he'll find himself starting off the bench. But as he's been starting off the bench at Mainz, it's not going to be a big change for him. What he will have, though, is the opportunity to play at a higher level, supposedly. If Leverkusen can hold it together, it seems to be that they've climbed their challenge a little bit better this season. Last season they had that brilliant 25 game unbeaten run and were top of the table at Christmas and petered out after Christmas, but they're right up there now, and if they continue in that vein and do get, well, maybe even Champions League qualification, they're going to need a squad with the kind of depth that he would then add to the, or the quality that he would then add to their bench. So roughly to your question, yeah, I think he'll be able to do it. He's got the skills. He's certainly, you don't pay €8 million for a guy allegedly without him having been fully checked out by your scouts. So Leverkusen will know what they're doing. So I think, yeah, he'll be a valuable addition. But as I said, I'm not sure that he's going to get past the other strikers at Leverkusen. I'm sure he will start off the bench.
Well, as we know, Jupp Heynckes does have an eye for a player. And while we're on the subject of Leverkusen, as the location for Schürrle, he'll be meeting up with Sidney Sam. He's a bit older than Schürrle and Holtby at 22, but this has really been the year where he's made his mark and he's sort of come of age. He's got power, pace, an eye for a pass. He's certainly got an eye for a goal. How has it taken him so long to hit these heights?
I think the situation at Hamburg when he was there was a little bit complicated. You've also got to remember there's a big midfield, or there was a big midfield there at Hamburg last season, the season before, when he went out to on loan. So he was going to have difficulty being a young player to get through, but with maturity, obviously, has sort of honed his talent, as it were, stood out when he was on loan at it was Nuremberg,
Kaiserslautern,
he was on loan, and he stood out there, and he's certainly standing out this season. He's hit some fabulous goals from distance. Once he played 13 goals, scored 6,
that's right, yeah.
159 minutes per goal or something like that. He's just exploded onto the scene, and now he's a must pick. If he's fit, he'll be in that team, and Heynckes, obviously, you know, with his years of experience, has found a gem.
That was one of the things that I was thinking, that he may have got lost in all the changes at HSV, and he's really, well, kind of grabbing the stability, I think, of having a manager like Jupp Heynckes, an experienced guy. He knows what it's all about. I mean, he was a pretty good player in his time as well, to be honest.
He had his moments.
So to be nurtured in this environment is absolutely fantastic for him. Now, another player that is benefiting from being nurtured, and the last but not least of our youthful quartet, is Dortmund's Mario Götze. a key player of the tabletop's success this season. He waltzes past defenders, he provides defence splitting passes, and well, from what I can see, calmness personified on the pitch. He was really taking all the plaudits in his stride, and he's only 18, isn't he?
He is only 18, and he's a full, you know, called up to the full Germany squad. I mean, he's had a fabulous year, but it has to be said that where he's playing at the moment, in a culture that brings on the youth talent, Jurgen Klopp at Dortmund, when you look at that team, when they're all there have been certain match days where the average age of the team has been 22 or under, so he's in there with a lot of other very young, very keen, very fit players, and the bonus that they have there is with Nuri Sahin, the main playmaker. If a team blocks him out of the game or marks him out of the game, the play shifts to Kagawa and to Goetze, so they've always got this option of using one of these three to create something, which is one of the reasons I think they're doing so well this season. Also, they've got a very, again, they've got a very good squad. You can bring Lewandowski off the bench. You've got Barrios is on form, and they're obviously really enjoying their football this season. But we saw him a couple of times at the end of last season, and he's been much vaunted to be one of the Wunderkinder of his generation. And he's got a brother as well, who plays elsewhere. But
I think it's Mainz he's at, isn't it? Is it it's Mainz,
but he plays at Mainz
Goetze
as well. Yeah, Felix is a year and a half older than him. But he hasn't made the breakthrough, but that often happens. I mean, you were talking about Mainz earlier on, and see, they've got the similar thing, but as I said, I think their problem will be that they've got too many players out on loan, so next season might be very difficult for them. But back to Mario Goetze, he's again set the Bundesliga alight, 6 assists and 2 goals in the 15 games that he's been on. And he hasn't started all of them. He's been substituted on 4 times. But he takes it all very coolly. I don't know if you watched the game against Seville last night. Had a lovely opportunity, a great opportunity right at the end. Didn't take it. But I think that, as well, at his young age, the disappointment of going out of the Europa League now is going to galvanise that team a little bit better. They haven't got far enough that it's a huge disappointment, but they've learned something from that. I also thought the refereeing was way too pernickety, way too fiddly last night, and the way that Sevilla went down every time anybody touched, a little bit like the 70s again. It was it wasn't nice to watch. But they're out of Europe now. But I think those kind of experiences are valuable for kids of his age, that they can at a very young age stick that away and learn from it. And Nuri Sahin is a perfect case in point. He's only 22 and he's playing right now like a 26, 27 year old with his calmness and ability and composure on the ball. And he got started. I mean, he was the youngest ever player in the Bundesliga to score as well, as well as to play. And he now is like a seasoned old veteran at 22. And I think that kind of thing is very, very exciting for a team like Dortmund when they're getting that kind of international and European experience at such an early age. That can only mean good things for the future.
Well, I think on the subject of the German national side, I was thinking about it, and you know, he's now made his debut, Goetze, and for the rest of the world, that's a real problem, I think, because if the German national side weren't doing, you know, pretty well as it is at the moment, Goetze could just step into the boots of Podolski on the left hand side, and well, cause havoc really. And I think that, you know, Germany's stacked up with talent at the moment.
Absolutely, bursting at the seams with talent, and it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't put any money on it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they win the next European Championships and the next World Cup if they get the maturity, or the way the players mature over the next 4 years, they could get a double dose. The only thing is, of course, England will have to beat them somewhere along the line, because it's about time we beat them again. but no, it's a very exciting prospect for fans of the German national team, with Özil getting more experience and Sami Khedira there in Real Madrid. you can, I mean, you can start now forgetting about the big names like Ballack, because their time is done. I think it's setting out when you look at the, when you look at the Bundesliga and you look at the table, you've got two teams at the top, or three teams at the top, where youth is certainly very much put forward with Dortmund and Mainz. Leverkusen's got a nice balance of age and experience, but certainly Dortmund are running ragged everybody else in the league at the moment. Just that one defeat at the beginning of the season to Leverkusen. So that game coming up, the reverse fixture of that coming up is the first game of 2011. It's not a bad prospect.
Very, very, very exciting. And I, personally, I think that 2010 has been a very exciting year in the Bundesliga. And just before we go, I'll just give some honourable mentions to some more great players who have made their mark in 2010. Ilkay Gundogan has been fantastic. Mehmet Ekici and Peniel Malapa have all been fantastic. But who should we be looking out for in 2011, Phil?
One to watch out for as well, another youngster that's had an extremely good year, is Oliver Baumann, Freiburg's goalkeeper. He's getting marks and his critiques is second only really to Manuel Neuer at Schalke in terms of the marks that he's been getting through the football press here. So there's one certainly to look out for. There are others that are just bursting in that might also go on. Is Heung-min Son at Hamburg. He's only 18. He's another one to keep an eye on. This season, there's quite a lot of youth bursting on the scene. But if I just take you back a few years ago, when there used to be the League Cup, that the Liga Pokal that was transmitted at the beginning of the summer as a sort of warm up the season. I saw a young man play for Schalke there who was just 17, and you could tell instantly by looking at him that he was going to be something, and that was Mesut Özil. I haven't seen anybody of exactly that quality, but then a Mesut Özil doesn't come across or doesn't happen every year. But there's certainly some very, very big talent in the Bundesliga this season. And as you say, it's an extremely exciting time with Bayern Munich so far away from the pace. Although, a look at the table tells you the Bayern are coming, as it were. They're moving slowly up. So I think we're going to see more from them in the second half of the season. Once the transfer window opens, they might be a little bit active. There's quite a few rumours knocking around at the moment about various transfers. But for me, definitely the find of the season, although he is as well, he's only 21, is Shinji Kagawa. He's been certainly the buy of the season. Didn't cost them very much, and his input on the field is also incredible. But again, he's with Shaheen, he's with Goetze, he's with Lewandowski, Piszczek, Hummels, Subotic. It's a grand team, and I think we're going to see a lot more. I don't think the fire is going to go out of Dortmund over the winter. In fact, it will probably just get better.
Well, Phil, thanks for joining me. Great to chat to you, and I hope we can persuade you to come back and join us again on the show at some point in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. No problem.
Right, Terry, I'm back with you now. It was great to chat with Phil, I'm sure you'll agree, but let's have a look at this weekend's fixtures. But before that, commiserations to Borussia Dortmund. It's not often that we get to say that. They bowed out of the Europa League last night. It was a brave performance, but the 2-2 draw with Sevilla wasn't enough to progress. But hey, no crying, boys. You're still in with the running for the Bundesliga, which I'm sure is, you know, what they're really looking for at the moment. Tonight, though, there are also two other Europa League games. We've got Leverkusen versus Atletico and Stuttgart versus Odense, and won't dwell too much on that because, hey, both of those guys are already through. So let's have a look at the final round of games. I'm liking the look of Sunday's game between Stuttgart and Bayern. The aforementioned Mr. Labbadia is in his first league game in charge of, and it's against the big boys from Bavaria. Bayern, we know, are a bit dodgy on the road. And can you see a new manager bounce happening in this one, Terry?
Well, I hesitate to say yes to that quite simply because Bayern are in such great shape. But I think that their defence is still perennially vulnerable. So I guess you always have to think that Bayern can be had. Certainly, the last time I tipped Bayern to win handsomely was when they played Schalke. And we all know what happened there.
We do indeed.
So I'm going to be a little bit more conservative about that because, much depends on how the dressing room responds to Bruno. If they like Bruno and they're going to work with him, then we could be in for an upset. And I think we'd have to call it an upset.
Oh, absolutely.
It is easy, like so many Bundesliga fixtures. It's inherently exciting. It's great. It's intriguing because of the additional dimension, the Bruno factor. But in any way you look at it, it's a must-watch game.
Well, let's not forget that Stuttgart, for all their faults, have handed out a 6-0 victory and a 7-0 victory this season. I'm not suggesting that this will be a repeat. But just to say that, well, they do have those results in them. I mean, they were against Werder Bremen and against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's not think that Bayern are anywhere kind of in that sphere of team. So I'm not suggesting that.
No, but I mean, it still suggests that Stuttgart are capable of turning over teams.
Absolutely,
of course they are.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's definitely a game that they can win. No question about it. But there isn't a fixture in the Bundesliga or very few fixtures in the Bundesliga where you'd look at and say, "Oh well, that team doesn't have a chance."
Right. Well, moving on. Next up, my second big game of the weekend, my pick is resurgent Schalke versus improving Cologne. Schalke's recent results speak for themselves. One defeat in their last six in the league up against the Cologne side, who are beginning to show a few signs of life. Or is this just me being a little bit crazy?
No, but I mean, I think that Cologne are probably catching Schalke at the wrong time. Cologne have definitely, obviously improved. They were getting better before their win against Frankfurt, fantastic win it was as well, and I think unfortunately for them though, they are coming across a Schalke team who really do genuinely seem to have turned the corner now, and are heading upwards, and may well, who knows, they may well yet sneak that European place at the end of the season. They look a completely different team now, much better, much more tenacious. They look more better organised as well, more better organised, if I can use those words in that kind of sentence. And I think that any day they've got too much for Cologne. So I'm going to confidently predict that Schalke will win. Sorry about that, Schalke fans, because I'll almost certainly be wrong.
From a Cologne perspective, they have a little bit of a problem in the fact that Lukas Podolski went off against Frankfurt and almost certainly won't be playing in the game against Schalke. So that's a bit of a problem.
I think that only underlines things from my point of view, because I mean, much of what Cologne has done is because someone has given Poldi a pretty big shake, and presumably Schaefer has done that and told him to get out there and start thinking about what he's doing. And he appears to be playing with some kind of thought, which has always been my biggest criticism of him. He's a fantastic player, but just doesn't think about what he's doing enough for me. Tactically naive, I think, is the euphemism for
absolutely. I think with Lukas Podolski, I mean, I certainly saw this during the World Cup. He's like, if he's in front of goal and the ball is coming across for him to hit, it will only go in one of two places. It will either like try and rip the back out of the net, or it will smack somebody in row 37. And those are the only two options with Lukas Podolski, unfortunately. However, I have seen him in recent weeks very much taking the lead. He kind of stepped up to being the senior pro in the side, the talisman, and certainly against Leverkusen for parts of that game, I was very impressed with what he was doing. It was almost like the Lukas Podolski that we see on the international scene. So I was very pleased with that. But obviously Cologne haven't got him. However, I think it was Clemens who scored an absolutely wonderful goal against Frankfurt. So they may be turning to another local boy to drive the success against Schalke. Now, just before we go, just to let you know the other fixtures coming up on the final match day of games before the winter break. On Friday, it's Gladbach at home to Cologne. Then we've got Bremen versus Leverkusen, Wolfsburg versus Hoffenheim, Frankfurt versus Tabletoppers Dortmund, Nuremberg are at home to Hanover, and St. Pauli take on Mainz, and Leverkusen take on Freiburg. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Don't forget, do keep in touch with us. You can catch me on Twitter. My handle is @BundesligaWorld. Terry's is @Bundesbag. Also, do take a look at our respective blogs. Mine is BundesligaWorld.blogspot.com, and you can find Terry Bundesbag.com. And also, we have, of course, our email address, which, straight off the top of my head, I can't quite remember. Is it BundesligaShow @footballfairground.com?
It's BundesligaShow @footballfairground.com, and listeners will be interested to learn that I did log in and to see if we had any messages, and we didn't. So you're all clearly very, very web 2.0. But by all means, send us an email if that's how you roll. Just a brief correction: Gladbach are playing Hamburg, not Cologne. We were just talking about Cologne.
Did I say Cologne?
You said Cologne, but that's all right.
I just got Cologne right on the brain. Gladbach versus Cologne, Hamburg.
Versus Hamburg. Hamburg. Classic schoolboy era.
Okay, Gladbach versus Hamburg. Right, we'll leave it there. So thanks for listening this week, and it's goodbye from me, and goodbye from Terry.
Goodbye.